Please turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal to page 61. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 49, question and answer 124, page 61. What does the third request mean? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven means, help us and all men to reject our own wills and to obey your will without any back talk. Your will alone is good. Help everyone carry out the work he is called to as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Now let us take our Bibles. We'll turn in them first to the Old Testament, to Psalm 103. Begin reading at verse 13. It's found at the bottom of page 637. Psalm 103, beginning at verse 13. People of God, hear now the very words of God. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us turn in the New Testament to Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 24. It's found on page 1045, Matthew 16. We read this, verse 24 and following. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? As far the reading of God's word. Congregation, what would happen in a country if its president set the agenda, would instruct the ambassadors, officials about it, but then each one decided to implement his own foreign policy, his own domestic policy? It'd be chaos. So it would be in a business, so it would be on a farm, so it would be in a family. Divided wills result in a divided body. It's this way in the world. As man does his own will instead of God's will, it's moral chaos. And we continue hearing what Jesus taught us for how we are to pray. And we come this evening to this request, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. With this request, we pray for help to obey God. Pray for help to obey God. That's what we are to do. And first we consider there are competing wills, competing wills. So God created us, God created humans with a will. It's part of who we are. Humans, we're not machines. Having a will means we have ideas, we have plans, we have purposes, and we strive to act in accordance with those. Our words, our actions, they flow from our will. My will differs from your will, and that differs from all other human wills. We are individuals. We make decisions, true decisions, real decisions. We are responsible for our decisions, our actions, our words. Humans are not animals in that our wills are very complex, influenced by physical, yes, but also emotional, moral, spiritual matters. As we said, God created man with a will. In the beginning, as part of that sinless, wonderful creation, man's having a will was good. It was very good. Having a will is something fundamental to being human. While we will not get into it this evening, there's an issue of how God's will, God's plan and purpose, which are absolute, how they intersect with man's will. It's a mystery to us how God is sovereign and yet we have a responsible will. But it's no more mysterious than how God can be everywhere present, present here, and yet be different than we are. Both are mysteries in terms of how they interrelate, but both are true. So we have a will, we are responsible, and God is sovereign. Both are true. Having a will is not bad. It's good. The evil comes with what man's will is made up to do, where it is set. Is our will in line with God's will? Or is our will aligned with what we think is in our best interest? Is our will competing with God's will? That's the question. Now, we know what the answer is for us by nature, don't we? By nature, our wills are set against God's will. They're set according to what we think is best rather than set to agree to God's will. Jesus teaches this prayer to us, to those who are fallen persons. Jesus knows our wills are against his by nature. Even after the Spirit of God has given us new birth, regenerated us, that old nature, that old man clings to us. And we see this struggle within our own wills. Now, let's be clear here. Before God made us alive spiritually, before we were born again, we desired nothing good, not truly. After God has regenerated us, we do desire that which is good, will to do good, but not perfectly. And yet we should never be discouraged and we should never be proud because despite our works, despite our will, God forgives our sins. Forgives for the sake of Christ and what he did. His suffering for sin, his death on the cross, his resurrection. It's not how obedient our wills are to God that's the measure of how right we are with God, but it's how obedient Jesus was to God and that we receive Christ's righteousness through faith, not through our own works at all. So what we're praying for here is not justification, but sanctification. We're praying that God would help us to live out that new life already within us. Help us to obey him. We would subject our wills to him. And you know this struggle. We know what's right, don't we? Now, sometimes we might say, oh, boy, well, in a certain thing, I don't know what's right. I'm struggling with that. 95% of our life, we know what we should do. It's very clear. Let's put it that way. You know what you should say. You and I, we know all these things, and yet what do? We hesitate to do the good, to speak what's good. Not only do we hesitate, but we often choose to say what's not good. Sometimes we might blame it on our temper. You can't blame that. The buck stops here. Now, why do we do those things and say those things? Because we want to. We choose to do the bad, to say the bad. We hesitate to choose the good. Nobody forces us to do that. We choose it. That shows that our will, even by nature, there's still that aspect that it's set against God's will. And we are to pray this request. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're asking not only that God's will, his commandments would be obeyed, praying that it is something removed from us, something out there, but knowing who we are. We're also praying, help me, Lord. Help me and all men. Help us and all men to reject our own wills. We, the believer, we're praying that. To reject our own wills and to obey your will without any back talk. And Jesus captures that well when he says in Matthew 16, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. Only someone whose heart has been changed, who has been reborn by the Spirit of God, can truly pray that. By nature, we will not do this. We will not take up our cross. By nature, we do not want to take up a cross. By nature, we will do what we can to make our life easier, fun, happy, profitable, secure, healthy, to ease our passing through this life. By nature, this is what we desire, what we will to do. Even as Christians, we're tempted to elevate these things. But what does Jesus call you and me, his followers, to do? Take up his cross. Follow me. Deny himself. Deny himself. That's sacrifice. That's rejecting our so-called best earthly life now. It's not only rejecting as our life goal being at the top of the world, but also even middle class or mere subsistence. Those aren't our life goals. It's embracing the loss of all things as the Lord directs. Is this what you want, people of God? Is this what you will? And follow Jesus. That's Christianity. Christianity is not some social club. It's not some feel-good religion. It's not the key to having your best life now as the world thinks of it. Young people, you particularly, you're tempted to think that, well, true Christianity, it's fine with worldly things, a worldly lifestyle. After all, God created it. Well, that's true. God created everything, everything good. Why can't I be a Christian and do this, that, or the other thing? Why are my Christian parents or grandparents, why do they seem so strict? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Christianity does not have as its goal the American dream, or being healthy, or being wealthy. It's denying all these as our life goal. It's taking up our cross. It's following Jesus. And there's not one human being who will do that by nature. God has to change our hearts. I thank the Lord he has done it for so many here this evening. But Jesus would have us pray this, not the unbeliever pray it, but we, the believer, pray it throughout our Christian life, that God would help us to reject our own will, not just now, but now and next moment, next day, next hour, next week, next year. That old nature still clings to us. Yes, we're reborn, but we struggle. Young people, don't be deceived. You hear from the world around you what they say you should want, what you should strive for, what you should get an education for, work for, money, pleasure, friends, health, fame, family. The goals that this world proclaims, they're hollow. They're empty, apart from God. The world, the flesh, the devil, they want you to will your life along those lines rather than God's lines. And we're tempted to have our will follow the way of sin, which leads to death, even if it's paved with, lined with the comforts of this life. Again, what does Jesus say? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What shall a man give in return for his soul? That's what God says. And it doesn't fit with our culture, any aspect of it. The stakes are high, aren't they? Incredibly high. Where is your will aligned? Where are you headed? We need to pray this. The world, the flesh, the devil, they paw at us to distract us from what is good and true and beautiful, God's will. Distract us to seek a life of leisure, pleasure, money, fame, success, health, security. Pray to God He would help you to reject all that seeking and striving. Pray to God He would help you obey His will. Pray to God to help you reject your own will. Deny yourself, to take up your cross, to follow Jesus, to obey His will, as the Catechism puts it, without any back talk. That's good. Some will ask, though, is it? Is God's will the way of blessedness? Is His way alone good? What really is good? Why? We move to that in our second point, good will. Good will. How can what Jesus says, Matthew 16, how can what He has us pray in this petition, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, how can that be truly good, alone good? How does denying ourselves, taking up our cross, lead to human flourishing? Maybe you've heard of that. Well, that idea of human flourishing, it's important in our day-to-day living for applying God's commands to our situations, helping us weigh between different choices and decisions we are to make within God's commandments. It's valid. How does Jesus' command then promote human flourishing? Well, here we need to make a distinction between how humans interact with each other and how each human is to interact with God. Now, when we interact with each other, we're equals. We're equally made in the image of God. Citizens in a civil government, community office bearers in a meeting of council. It's good at that point to have different wills come to expression in the decision-making. You want that. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Wouldn't it be good if the civil ruler of our land demand that His will be followed in everything? Or if there was a minister or an elder who was, in essence, a pope and His will got followed in everything always? With humans, human flourishing requires that not one human will be elevated above all others, as though His will, her will alone is good. God created us as individuals with wills. We ought to respect that. But when we're speaking about God, how we interact with God, it's all different. And this gets at the issue we're praying with here. This request, by nature, our sinful nature, we want to do what we want to do. We don't want anyone to tell us what to do. Our wills are set against God, but God is the Creator. He is the ruler of all. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He gives life to all. To live with God is life. To live apart from God is death. It's God who determines what is good. God is the source of good. And only as humans live in rebellion against God do they say, well, I as an individual, I know what is good. God knows what's best for each individual. More than I do for myself, more than you do for yourself. That's the issue, people of God. How much do you think of yourself? Of course, every true Christian will say, of course, God's will is good. God knows best. God wants the best for His children. We say that, but because that sinful nature still clings to us in our living, our willing, it doesn't always reflect that confession. Practically speaking, in our lives, we go against God's will. Even though we know it's not good to do that. Think again this morning of Abram and Sarai. Well, Sarai had facts, and she had that theological correctness of God withholding conception from her. But she went in an entirely different direction than God's will. We are to pray this prayer so God would help us deny ourselves and do His will. But how is it that God's will alone is good? Especially in light of denying ourselves. Suffering, taking up the cross. Crosses were things on which people suffered and died, agonizingly died. How is this good for us, our flourishing? How is it that God's will, which includes our suffering, God's will alone is good? Well, that's a question that the saints have asked for many years. We don't understand. don't. We don't see how our suffering, our taking up the cross, perhaps denying ourselves, we can't always see how that is good. Sometimes we can. But a lot of times we don't understand. We know from our own hearts, hearts that break when sin ravages our lives, the lives of our loved ones, when death comes, we don't understand. But God does. And part of this then is a call to humble ourselves. His will alone is good. That word alone, just like the Reformation has the solas, Scripture alone, grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone, to God alone be the glory. Here's another alone. His will alone is good, and that separates it. Don't demand that God say, well, here's why it's good for you. Let me make it clear to you. Humble yourself by God's grace. Trust Him. And part of the key to understanding how it is that God's will alone is good is where Jesus says the one who loses his life will find it. In contrast to gaining the whole world, yet forfeiting our soul. What we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we experience is the here and now. Now, those who are older, those who are more developed, more mature, we can think ahead usually, we can anticipate, we can make judgments and plans about the future and act now in relation to the future. That's a sign of maturity, not just act on impulse like beasts. We're very much impacted by our experiences, what we sense. God, though, has the entire picture, past, present, future, all within His grasp. He's not swayed by moment-to-moment impulses. And He knows and He tells us, gaining the whole world now would be forfeiting our soul. Why is that? Well, the whole world is subject to death. When Adam first sinned against God, he brought into this world sin and death, brokenness. Even before Adam sinned, the whole world was not an end in itself. It was created by God to be used to glorify Him, to love others. How much more now? If our will is to gain what we can see, what we can hear, what we can experience, if that's what we geared for, this fallen world, not only is that misusing the good creation, but it's misusing that which is fallen and passing away. Doubly then, those whose will is other than God's will, set here, set on themselves, forfeit their soul. Forfeit their soul. Ultimately, they'll find on the last day, the judgment day, their sins have separated them from God, who's the source of life, and their sins bring upon themselves God's wrath. Let the wicked, the unbelieving hear. Let them turn from their sins. Young people, young adults, don't forfeit your soul. It's not worth it. Christ bore His cross, bearing the guilt of our sin, suffering God's wrath against our sin, dying to that which bound us, setting us free from God's wrath, from sin, from slavery. By His resurrection, He has brought true life, life that will never pass away, that can never pass away, life in its fullest. But He reached the resurrection only through death, the agonizing death of the cross. Because we live in a fallen world, because we ourselves are fallen, especially now, our wills, we have to reject them. They are not good. And we must, by God's grace, obey God's will without any back talk as we confess His will alone is good. If His will alone is good, that means our will is not, so long as it's against competing, not in line with His. That's the issue before us. Our will is mired in sin, leading to death, eternal destruction. And therefore, congregation, what will you will to do? Follow the path leading to death, forfeiting your soul. By God's grace, denying yourself, taking up your cross, following Him. God says plainly, whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. All those who turn to Jesus, who confess their sin and Christ's blessedness, who entrust themselves to Jesus, are forgiven, are righteous in God's sight, are heirs of everlasting life. Yes, believer, as you lean on Jesus, trust in Him, you will go through much suffering in this life. God does not promise us our best earthly life now. He promises us, to all who would live godly in Christ Jesus, He promises suffering. He promises a cross. But rejoice, because you are forgiven. And God is working something wonderful, which He will reveal in its fullness on the last day, when He raises the dead, renews the cosmos, and brings forth the new heavens and new earth in all their glory. Trust Him. He is the same one who sent His beloved Son to suffer and die to redeem us, so that we would live with Him. We wouldn't do that for someone else. I wouldn't. You wouldn't. But God did it for us. So whose will is it then? Whose will is it that is good? God's will alone. His will alone is good. Pray that God would help you obey His will. Pray this not only in generalities, but in very specifics, as it concerns God's will in your day-to-day living, your assigned work. That's what we move to in our third point, assigned work. So God made man to glorify the Lord, to love our neighbor. And to bring that to pass, God assigns work for us. Work's not bad. For Adam, before sin, what was Adam assigned? Children? You know he was assigned to tend the garden, right? He was assigned to fill the earth, to subdue it. After the fall, God still gives various work for people to do. He assigns husbands, fathers, wives, mothers, children, you have siblings, brothers, sisters, office bearers in the church, church members, citizens of a country, members in a community, students, contractors, employees, owners, neighbors, so many callings. And each of these positions is a way that God assigns work for you to do. As part of this request, we ask God, Lord, help me in carrying out the work you have called me to. So within these callings, with the work of these callings, we seek to do God's will. And we read of that from Psalm 103, where the angels are summoned to bless the Lord, mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word, to bless Him. But it's not just angels. We go on. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's us. God in His word closely connects the office, the assignment, with blessing the Lord, which is what happens as we perform the work God has assigned to us within our callings. God is blessed. God is praised. Do we need to pray about this then? Yes, we do. Not only do we lack the wisdom, the strength, the energy to do this work, because we're creatures, we have nothing in ourselves, no resources, but also to bless the Lord, to do them to the glory of God. Love for God, love for neighbor, that too has to come from God. So we need to pray for God's help to carry out the work He's called us to. Ladies, ask God to help you be a faithful wife, a faithful mother, a faithful friend. Men, ask God for help to be a faithful husband, a faithful father, a faithful employer, employee, friend. Children, ask God for help to be a faithful child, a faithful brother, sister, neighbor, friend, student. Think of all the different roles you have and ask God. There's lots of things to pray for. Say, Lord, help me to do this. You say, well, kids, maybe you say, well, I don't really like being a student. All the more reason. Lord, help me to be a faithful student. I don't really like my brother all that much sometimes, or my sister. All the more reason. Help me to be a faithful brother or sister. Help me, Lord. See, we don't have it. Now, it doesn't mean that we ask God to give us an A on our test, or again, that he'd have us win a particular sporting event or place high in a competition. That's not what's in mind. It's how we go about doing the work to which God has called us. Are we doing it faithfully, willingly, even as the angels in heaven? Young people, you go to school, and you're sitting there. What do you think an angel would do? More, what do you think Jesus would do? Strive to do it faithfully, willingly, even as the angels in heaven do. Strive by God's grace to do your duty and leave the results to God. When you're tempted, ask God not only for help to resist the temptation, yes, but flip it around and ask positively for help to do the work he's given you that you're tempted not to do. So don't just ask to resist the temptation, but ask, Lord, help me to do this good thing. And then by God's grace, do it. Psalm 103 brings out, we are to praise God, we are to bless God wherever he's placed us, in every moment he's given to us, in every task he sets before you. Not only in church as the corporate worship service or Sunday school or catechism or young people's society, but because we are always members of Christ's church, Christ's body, at every time, in every way, we are to strive to carry out the work to which God has called you. And we need God's help. I do. I am so thankful for your prayers. Your prayers for me as your pastor. Your elder needs your prayers. Your deacons. Everyone else in these pews needs your prayers. We're weak. He's strong. We're perplexed. We're foolish. He's wise. We're sinful. He is holy and righteous. He sanctifies us so we walk according to his will. So we do bless the Lord. The people of the Lord pray to God. Pray to the Lord constantly to help you reject your own will, to help you carry out the work he has called you to. Pray in the morning when you wake up. Pray at meals. Pray while you're driving, while you're walking. Don't close your eyes while you're driving, of course. You can pray with your eyes open. Pray at work, pray at home, pray at school, pray before tests, pray before competitions. Just don't pray that you get an A. Pray when you're perplexed, when you're stretched beyond what you can do. Mothers, when one more comment and, ooh, what am I going to do? Pray right then. Pray when you're confident. Pray when you think you got everything under control. At all times, in every way, ask for the Lord's presence and help. Pray for help to obey God. And as you rely upon God, praying for his help, he will use that. Not only as the request that he answers to help you, but also use it to help focus your mind on rejecting your own will and seeking out God's will, seeking to obey God's will in the power of God's Spirit. Pray for help to obey God. And may God be praised as we pray and strive to live just how Jesus instructed us. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your will alone is good. To deny ourselves, to take up our cross, to follow Jesus. To not seek to gain the world. Lord, all these things are folly to the world around us. Folly. But Lord, you have revealed this as the way of life that Christ himself has walked, the life he has brought. Now impart that to us by your Spirit. Help us, Lord. We can't do it on our own. Help us, Lord. And may you be praised as you have us seek your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.